69, dudes!
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 69 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Zane.
I'm Josh.
I'm Sean. Guys, we did it.
Oh, 69, episode 69, dude.
69, dudes!
Feels good.
Feels really good.
69 does feel really good.
Feels good to get in a 69 episode.
Yeah, to get to the 69th episode.
69.
They said it couldn't last. Alright, that's it for sex jokes, I think. I think we have to call, like a moratorium on sex jokes. Unless they occur naturally.
Right.
Like, if it just comes up.
You can't force it.
Exactly. Never want to force a 69.
You never want to force
it. It's just not comfortable for the listener.
No.
Yeah.
Plus, you gotta prepare for a 69.
Stop.
69, dudes!
Zane, what are you reading?
I'm reading The Little Stranger by Sarah Waters.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you get that book? Of your own free will?
I got it from your mom, as I said last week.
Oh.
From his mom's butt?
Which means she got it
That's
from...
That's what you said last week.
Which means she got it from the Mennonite store where she volunteers.
Where?
Perhaps.
In, I don't know, I can't remember the
Saturday?
Name.
Saturday?
Yeah.
I know that place.
Yeah. Well, next time you're there, ask for my mom.
Is Sean's mom here?
She'll give you books. How is it?
It's good. I'm like maybe only 100 pages into it. It's like 500 pages long.
Okay.
So I think I'm just getting to like the action.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of setup.
How's the writing?
It's good.
Okay.
And it's very, you know, it takes place in like 1949 in the countryside in England.
Right, you had said, and there's like some...
And like, it's all these old mansions and like old families that are like losing their money and stuff like that. And the narrator is a local doctor. And it feels like a period piece, like the way that it's written and like the rhythm of the sentences and stuff. If you feel like you're there, like it paints that picture very well. And it's interesting. It's a lot of fun to read. I just haven't gotten to like the stuff yet.
Okay.
Some stuff just happened and I'm like, okay, here
like
we go.
Like supernatural, do we think? Or
ghosts? I think that's where it's going.
Okay.
British ghosts.
But like so far they've talked about like a general like creepiness.
Okay.
And yeah, England.
Like,
creepy.
Like every so often someone mentions it.
They drive on the wrong goddamn side.
Back staircase like sends chills down my spine. Like that's it. That's as close as we've gotten. So, but I think it's just taking a while to ramp up because it is 500 pages. But
oh
I like it. I'm definitely going to keep reading.
All right. Well, if it's good, maybe you could recommend it to me.
Maybe.
In a complete reversal of roles.
Wow. All right. What's
complete
going
flipping
on?
Around?
Is there a butthurt
you know, like
happening
a 6 to a 9?
Right now?
I think there is.
No, it's not about. No, 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 no. That was all last week. I got that out of my system last week.
I see.
No, I'm dead serious. If you can recommend me a book, that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I got a few right here I can recommend for you, but let's
save it. Josh, what are you reading?
I have a feeling next week I'll start reading something. I feel like I have some foresight into
some sort of time travel
like
ability.
Maybe I feel
you're
like
you're setting up like a very Christopher Walken type vibe.
Thank you.
Really? I was thinking more like a.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Scott Bakula.
Oh, what?
Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula. Foreshadowing.
The universe is folding in on itself.
So you're not reading?
I mean, I am, but you just have to stay tuned next week to hear what I have to say
oh
about it.
Oh my god.
It's that important.
All right, fair enough. Hey, Sean, what are you
Sean,
reading?
What are you
oh,
reading?
Right.
You
yeah.
Jesus
yeah. Shit.
Christ.
I'm reading you guys, and you're delightful. I'm reading Rogue.
A compliment.
I'm still reading the Rogues. I'm in Rogues, and I'm loving it. I'm loving all the stories.
And it's about the Rogue. Like they're like rogues. Like
it's about like people on the fringe, like thieves or like
man,
like an assassin story.
I love thieves.
You would I think anybody would love these stories because some of them are like high fantasy, but some of them are like. Contemporary crime, and some of them are sort of like alternate universe kind of stuff.
It's 700 pages. He's not going to read it.
But there are different stories.
But they're short stories. You only have to read like 30 pages at a time.
Oh,
so that's like
30!
That's like 2 months' work.
Yeah.
Oh.
It took him like 4 months to get through that Klosterman.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's
Klosterman.
Fairness, it was that Klosterman.
Klosterman.
Yeah, but it was essays.
It's me, John Klosterman.
Do you ever think about how great Chuck Klosterman is? I do.
Check me out on the various hipster things.
If you're listening to This American Life, I'm probably on it.
No, but for real, Chuck Klosterman should be on the show.
Chuck, we'd love to have you on this.
I know you're listening.
Bring Ernest Cline with you and Will Wheaton.
Oh, boy.
It'd be the best show we ever do.
He's not that bad.
No, he's not. He's not that bad.
But seriously, though, Will Wheaton and Ernest Cline are...
Come on the show.
Yeah, come on the show.
I met Will Wheaton once. Did I show you that?
You did?
Yeah.
What did he say? What did he do? Who are you?
No, he was at, I was at PAX, the video game conference in Seattle, and he was signing books, and my wife is actually a fan of Will Wheaton's, so I got her a copy of his book and had him sign it for her.
Did you ask him why he blocked me on Twitter for being hilarious at him?
This was well before that happened.
Wait.
Well before I knew you.
You've always known me.
No, I have not walked
in. Time is a flat circle, Josh.
Time is a flat circle, exactly.
Oh boy.
What are we doing today?
Doing our 69th episode of Cracking the Spine.
69, Josh!
Oh, man.
69, dudes!
So, if you want to know what it's going to be all about, just stay tuned, because we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the 69th episode of Cracking the Spine. One thing we forgot to mention was that it's June 9th right now.
That's right.
Today.
6-9, dude!
And I believe it's 1969, if I am not
No, you're thinking
wrong.
Of your Firebird.
Oh, that it was 67.
69, dudes!
I wish it was a 69. They're better. I'm Josh.
I'm Zane.
I'm Sean. I think that's... We didn't do that on purpose that we're recording on 6-9.
No, we totally did.
No, we... No, we...
Nothing is by
accident.
We've been
planning this from the beginning.
Yeah.
From before you guys were on the show?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I knew...
Okay.
Hey, Christopher Walken.
I got a joke for you. Right?
What is it?
If we had done 13 episodes, we would have only done 3 of them, because that's math, right?
What?
I don't know.
13?
We usually do math jokes. Oh, wait, that's not 13 times 3. Never mind. Never mind.
What's...
Never mind. 23.
13 squared is 169. 169.
69, dude. So...
I prefer 269s.
So, we're going to try something a little off the beaten path here.
Yeah.
For the 69th episode.
Yeah.
It was an idea I had that was good or bad. We'll find out in a minute.
It'll be good.
Where we're going to read... From some of our favorite or not favorite books.
From books.
From books from that books. We have collected. But we're only going to read page 69. That's the idea.
Yep.
Only reading page 69. And anybody has the ability to cut anybody off at any time.
There's a buzzer. And
yeah.
It goes something like this.
Okay.
Okay.
What does your buzzer sound like, Zane?
It's you. You're my buzzer.
Well, how are you going to tell?
You'll know.
My buzzer's going to sound like this. Buzz.
Oh, that sounds like...
I'll probably just object.
Nay!
So I'm going to get started. It's kind of like dramatic readings, but not exactly.
Yeah.
It's more like 69 readings.
Yes.
And we're going to be reading from 69 different books.
There's about 69 books on the table right now.
And I'm going to get started.
We got really excited in picking books.
We
so
did.
We got a lot of
We got a little
books.
Oversell it, so we're probably not going to read from
you
everything.
You can get a little excited in a 69.
Exactly. I'm going to start it off with an excerpt of a book I like entitled The Pirates in an Adventure with Napoleon by Gideon Defoe.
William Defoe's brother.
They did turn some of the Pirates as a series that they did turn into a movie that was animated by Aardman.
Oh, yeah.
Who does the Wallace and Gromit movies.
Yeah.
So it's very, very silly, very cheeky British novel.
Oh, man. Is there like cheese involved?
Ham. Actually, the pirate captain really likes ham.
Oh, that's why you like him so much.
No, I mean, it's part of it. Page
69. 69, dudes!
Starstruck. Or have you changed jobs and become a beekeeper, too? No, my porcelain friend, said Napoleon, his face suddenly clouding over. I simply grew tired of the conquering business, so I have come here to this godforsaken rock to enjoy a peaceful retirement. I am here completely of my own volition, and anybody who says otherwise is a liar and a charlatan. Mr. Bonaparte, said the governor, hurrying forward to take the general's
that's
things.
That's Napoleon.
Who?
It's a real honor to have you as a guest on our humble island. Anyhow, said the pirate captain, turning back to the Gamine Lady Islander, having decided it was high time he got his anecdote back on track. As I was saying, there's a rather interesting story behind how I came by that crystal bear.
Ah, yes. What the fuck?
Bears, said Napoleon. He nimbly slipped his arm around the Gamine girl's waist and led her over to a couch. That reminds me of the time I invaded Russia. Let me tell you all about it. You are extremely Gamine, by the way. Across the room, Jennifer leaned over to the pirate with a scarf. The pirate captain's gone a very funny color, she said. What on earth can the matter be? I think, replied the pirate with the scarf ruefully, it has something to do with chimpanzees.
I want to read the rest of this really book.
That's a really great example of what this exercise is going to be like. It's just so out of
flying
context.
Flying colors. Who's next?
Who had a... What...
That's it, dude. That's all you get.
Josh wants to know more.
Read the book.
Read the book.
Who's next? I can go again.
Who's next? Do you want to go next or want
me
to go next?
I'll go next. What should I read? We'll go with this
one. Breaking out the big guns.
This one's probably the least interesting.
What is it?
I'm going to read page 69 of the Randall Cunningham autobiography, I'm Still Scrambling. Now, this book came out...
What was the publication date on that?
I was going to look. It cost $20 in 19...
It's going to be on that page.
1993.
All right.
I believe I was 10.
I believe I was a junior in high school.
I've never read this book. I'm not going to read this italics crap.
Okay.
Losing Andre was a big blow to the team. I'd say that in the last 8 years, Andre had intimidated more players than anyone else in the NFL. That's National Football League.
Andre Waters, I believe he's talking about.
Shh, getting there! You fucking...
Spoilers!
Receivers don't want to go over the middle against the Eagles if it's... And it's because they know Andre is back there waiting to lay them out. Even when they don't go over the middle, they keep one eye on the ball and the other on Andre.
I wish Mark Twain was reading this.
Maybe he'll show up later. Andre has a reputation for being a dirty player, and sometimes people call him Dirty Waters. He was right. But Andre has cleaned up his act in the past couple of years, and I've watched him grow from being a rookie free agent into a Pro Bowl level player. The only problem is, because of his reputation, Andre never gets voted to the Pro Bowl, even though he deserved to be there. People say Andre goes for the knees. I feel like Andre is talking in the third person. People say Andre goes for the knees a lot. But he has to. He weighs 190 pounds in our defense. He's asked to play like a linebacker, which means he has to take on 290-pound linemen, shed them off, and tackle the running backs, who almost all weigh over 200 pounds.
290-pound linemen?
Yeah.
They're all over like 330 now. Like, that's crazy.
They're like humongous.
Dude, that's
now.
Crazy to me.
Yeah, it's 93, man. That goes on from there.
You know what's really sad about that is how the whole Andre Waters story ended.
Yeah, he dies.
He had the brain
the CTE.
Thing.
CTE. He killed himself.
No, he didn't. He died.
Oh, he just died from it? That's like dying from rabies.
He was like
rabies.
They said he had like brain of like a 90-year-old Alzheimer's patient. He died at like really young. I want to say he wasn't even.
They
50.
Don't mention that in this book.
Well, it hadn't happened yet.
Look at him smiling. I know, if you can, Google the cover of this. What a charming man. He was good.
Say, what are you reading from?
I am reading from... That's always weird to follow Josh. I'm reading from one of my favorite books, Harlan Ellison's Deathbird Stories.
That's a cool cover, too.
Agreed.
Looks like a tattoo.
This is a short one. You guys are lucky.
Page 69,
dudes!
On another plane of existence, where things were vastly different from those in the world that had given Roger Charna his neon chest spiral, observations were made and the new color was seen. There it is, they said. Yep, there it is, they said. Took them long enough, they said. Well, now that they're ready, we can go and show them how to do it, they said. They're going to like this, they said. A lot, they said. And they set out immediately, and it took no time at all to get there. And when they arrived, they changed everything, and everyone enjoyed it a lot. And everyone said the angels were the exact color of Charna, which wasn't a bad name for it at all.
That page is about a new color being invented.
This book is incredible. If you're going to read sci-fi short stories, pick up this book.
I like Zane's reading voice. I'm dead serious. Yeah. It sounds like I'm joking, but like you have this like, I don't know, there's this like timbre your voice takes on when you start reading, and I'm like... Go ahead. All right, good. That was a good one.
I hate Zane going after me because she reads better.
I always feel bad because you guys are, like, funny, and then I read something that, like,
I'm only funny because I can't be anything else.
Well, speaking of funny.
Uh-oh.
I will be reading.
Oh, yeah.
I will be reading from the late and great Christopher Hitchens in his book, God is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything.
Oh, that's funny. Also, it's true.
Page 69.
69, dudes!
And I will give you a little bit of context.
No.
Because the top of the page is the name of the chapter.
No!
Which is The Metaphysical Claims of Religion.
Okay. This will be good.
Page 69.
Uh-huh.
And fear, and probably of the horrific Black Death in Munich in 1349. He was a Franciscan, in other words, an acolyte of the aforementioned mammal who was said to have preached to birds, and thus conditioned to a radical approach to poverty, which brought him into collision with the papacy in Avignon in 1324.
Who wasn't in collision with the papacy in Avignon
right? In 1324? Like, that's all you're doing. The quarrel between the papacy and the emperor over secular and ecclesiastical division of powers is irrelevant to us now, since both sides ultimately lost.
True.
But Occam was forced to seek even the emperor's protection in face of the worldliness of the pope. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here.
Also, his razors are Dollar Shave Club.
Let's see. Assuming that God can make us feel the presence of a non-existent entity, and further assuming that he need not go to this trouble if the same effect can be produced in us by the actual presence of that entity, God could still, if he wished, cause us to believe in the existence of stars without their actually being present. Quote, every effect which God causes through the meditation of a secondary cause, he can produce immediately by himself, end quote. Mm-hmm. However, this does not mean that we must believe in anything absurd, since, quote, God cannot use us in knowledge, I'm sorry, cause in us knowledge such that by it, such that by it a thing is evidently to be present, though it is absent, for that involves a contradiction.
My God.
This is hilarious.
Before you begin to drum your fingers at the huge tautology that impends here,
uh-huh.
as it does in so much theology and theodicy, consider what Father Copplestone, the eminent Jesuit, has to say
He's
in commentary.
Making up names. That's a made-up name.
If God had annihilated the stars, he could still cause in us the act of seeing what had once been, so far as the act is considered subjectively, just as he could give us a vision as of what will be in the...
Uh-huh.
Man, that is, like, holy shit.
Dude, that book is amazing. God is not great. Christopher Hitchens.
That is a long-ass way of saying God just make you see whatever.
Well, yeah.
That's a long way of getting around to that one.
Philosopher.
Oh, philosophy.
All right.
Who's next?
You want to go next or you want me to go next?
You go. You got more books than I do.
Yeah, I do have a lot of books.
We don't have to read all the books.
We haven't. Nobody's been buzzed yet.
Oh,
that's true.
Oh, you know what would make this better? Also, we can't do it, but we should next time. Maybe for episode 169 or maybe episode 71 or whatever. Do this again. And then if you get buzzed, you got to drink a shot.
A drunk show.
And then we'll be wasted and it'll be the best podcast of all time. Don't steal that idea. Edit
copyright.
That out.
Copyright.
Edit that. Copyright. It's copyrighted. We don't...
Put it in an envelope, mail it to yourself.
It works. It still works.
Right.
What are you reading, Zane?
Well, we're doing reading, so I'm reading some Ray Bradbury.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Get the tissues out,
now
folks.
We're going to feel feelings.
No,
just...
probably not. This is from The Martian Chronicles.
Starring Matt Damon.
Page 69.
69, dudes!
Oh, okay.
My God, there were bodies there.
Jesus Christ.
It was like walking in a pile of autumn leaves. Like sticks and pieces of burnt newspaper, that's all. And fresh. They'd been dead 10 days at the outside. Did you check other towns? Did you see anything alive? Nothing, whatever. So I went out to check the other towns. 4 out of 5 have been empty for thousands of years. What happened to the original inhabitants, I haven't the faintest idea. But the fifth city always contained the same thing. Bodies. Thousands of bodies. What did they die of? Spender moved
forward. Bodies hit the floor.
You won't believe it. What killed them? Hathaway said simply, chicken pox.
What?
My God, no. Yes, I made tests.
I thought one was fine.
Chicken pox. It did things to the Martians it never did to Earthmen. Their metabolism reacted differently, I suppose. Burnt them black and dried them out to brittle flakes. But it's chickenpox, nevertheless. So York and Captain Williams and Captain Black must have got through to Mars, all three expeditions.
No.
God knows what happened to them. But we at least know that they, unintentionally, what they unintentionally did to the Martians. You saw no other life? Chances are a few of the Martians, if they were smart, escaped the mountains. But there aren't enough. I'll lay you money to be a native problem. This planet is through. Spender turned and went to sit at the fire, looking into it. Chickenpox. God, chickenpox. Think of it. A race builds itself for 1,000,000 years, refines itself, erects cities like those out there, does everything it can to give itself respect, and...
No!
Cliffhanger!
By the book!
Martian chickenpox, man. Shit ain't nothing to mess around with.
Man, I had chickenpox. It was great. It was itched, though.
It was great.
Yeah, you get to stay home from school.
Oh.
I think I had a chickenpox party. I don't think you can do those anymore.
They don't have chickenpox anymore. You know, people don't get chickenpox anymore.
Oh yeah.
They get vaccinated.
Placebo.
Speaking of placebos,
are you going to see a placebo concert, bro?
I love placebo.
That'd be great.
I would kiss that man, Brian Molko.
He touched my hand once.
Speaking of chickenpox, he's probably got chickenpox.
It was great. They did a Pixies cover.
I don't know if I've ever listened to a song by them.
They're great. You should just get the first album, and it's great. I can see them
liking them.
Yeah. Anyway.
There's a tour coming this summer that I want to see. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Placebo?
No.
Okay. It's in San Antonio, isn't it?
No. No, it's Rage Against the Machine, Public Enemy, and Cypress Hill.
Wait a minute. They're not bands anymore.
What are you reading?
American Cheeses. The best regional artisan and farmhouse cheeses. Who makes them and where to find them? By Clark Wolf. Photographs by Scott Mitchell.
Sean's hand hovers over the buzzer.
Also...
What? This is like the most interesting book so far.
This
What about the Hitchens?
Cheese.
Yeah, this is about cheese, man. What is the date? When is it? Where is it? Oh, that 2008. It's new.
It's relatively up to date on cheeses.
How many innovations do they come along with in cheese?
Let's find out.
Fair enough.
Cheesemaker : Nancy and Tom Clark, Old Chatham Sheep Herding Company. Cheesemakers and people who love cheesemakers tend to adore the folks at Old Chatham. That's true, they do. There really is nothing like their creamy, rich, mostly sheep's milk, soft, ripened cheeses.
No.
There's sheep and cow's milk.
No.
Hudson
the way
Valley,
he's reading it is.
Camembert, semicolon. Those molten mutton buttons. They're fresh.
Object. I object.
Tangy ricotta.
I object.
You've been buzzed.
Fuck! The good cheese part.
Sorry, man.
Oh, for God.
It was too gross.
For Christopher Hutchins' sake.
Hitchens.
Michael Hutchins' sake.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, your turn.
I'm going to be reading from Canary by friend to the show, Dwayne Swierczynski.
Dwayne.
A Philadelphia crime-based author who recently relocated to Los Angeles. Good luck out there, Dwayne.
Come back. It sucks there. Crime is way better here.
Page 69.
69, dudes!
Oh, okay.
In Naples. She grew up dusting and vacuuming and generally slaving away for her bitch stepmom. She knows what to
do. Whoa!
I swear to God, this is what it says. CI number 69 isn't so much
frightening.
I'm telling you
the
truth.
The universe today,
man. Oh, my God.
CI 69 isn't so much frightened by the intrusion as annoyed. With a few minutes, the burglars are going to have to see she owns nothing worth carrying out of here. And she'll have to figure out a way to secure the back door again. You picked the wrong house, assholes, she calls down the staircase. Ain't got nothing worth stealing. The voice that responds frightens her. Not because it is inherently menacing or sinister sounding, but because CI 69 knows a cop when she hears one. We're not here for your stuff, the voice says. We're here for you.
Oh, no.
And with that, CI 69...
But she's a bitch. You don't want her?
No, her stepmom was a bitch.
Oh, whatever.
And with that, CI 69 grabs her bag and is out the back window, which is why she chose to bed down in that back bedroom, just in case she had to leave in a hurry.
Is she parkouring out of this place?
It's a quick hop down to the roof outside from the rear of the house.
Yeah, she is.
And then another hop to the small fenced yard.
I knew it.
But from here, there are three ways out, left, right, or down a weeded alley, the left heading to Herbert Street, the right leading to another alley that took you to Dara or Salem. Take your pick. Because the cops came in the front, it was likely their cruiser was out on Dara. So Salem seemed her best bet.
Mm-hmm.
If these guys are cops, though, why didn't they identify themselves? Cops can be dicks, but they all tell you what's first. Maybe these aren't cops. CI number 69 lands in the backyard and is preparing to sprint to the gate when a voice behind her commands her to freeze. He's not in uniform, but he's holding a police gun, and the steely look on his face is definitely a cop's. He's black and clean-shaven and has the demeanor of someone who is used to having his commands followed. What do you want?
Oh my
god.
Dude,
I would read that.
This book is great. Dude, this book is so good.
Awesome. You go down Salem Street because that's the cat from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yep.
CI stands for confidential informant, by the way, guys.
Oh, I thought it stood for...
Too smart for me.
What does 69 stand for?
The best episode of Cracking the Spine to date.
Oh no, Zane, you're up again. I got one left.
Okay.
I mean, I got more, but...
Go ahead, Zane.
You have plenty.
I don't know.
I got one left, too.
I don't know.
Maybe I'll...
Who am I?
No, Josh, if we're all going to do one more, Josh, you got to go on the other
one. This
one. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Shit.
Wait, is this my last one?
No, you can do one
whatever
more.
You want. Whatever you want to do.
What are you reading?
I'm reading Double Deuce by Aaron Comet.
The Double Deuce.
Oh, man.
Page 69.
Oh, yeah.
69, dudes!
51. Jed speaks. Things changed a lot after Jag moved into Deuce. He actually kind of brought in a new era with him. Everything that was there before either changed or almost became completely different and rearranged. I don't know if it was exactly Jag moving in that created all the garbage and stuff.
Jag.
If it was just an extra person or an extra body or what, or all of us crowded together that made it all the more prone to rampant disease.
Whoa.
Gross.
Jag was always there for some reason Chicken or box. Another. Combing his hair and, I don't know, getting one person or another out of trouble. It would be me and Jag, and next thing I know, it's like Jag leaving for 5 minutes and running back to me like, oh shit, I gotta go save Little G. Or Little G would come back and be like, I just got mugged downtown. It totally took away from the whole calm of everything.
Classic.
Seemed
Little
kind of
G.
dismal, but we had to all stay there because we didn't know what else to do. We had to start thinking about our survival and stuff, flossing our teeth, dealing with the impending danger of another fucked up situation.
I would deal more with the rampant disease before the flossing of the teeth.
They could lead to one another.
I got in a really good mood one night. I don't think I was actually drunk or anything, but I'd been drinking. Little G and Jag were there, and they were jumping on each other. Jag was trying to comb his hair for like an hour. Little G was jumping on his back. I was just sitting there trying to figure out how to record it so it wouldn't be lost. But like all things, it was eventually lost.
What is this book?
Double
I don't
deuce.
Even know what I did. I just sat there and watched it, trying to remember it. After a while, it turned into a totally almost non-productive atmosphere. But only half the time. I mean, the rest of the time it was great. Yeah. When Jag first moved in, I kind of knew him, I guess. But I hadn't really gotten a chance to get to know him. Little G and I didn't really fight that much, but Jag and I just had political differences. Life and death. It didn't come to any real headway, so we had to kind of give up. I think if we had kept that up any longer, we all would have probably ended up getting kicked out on the street. We did? Oh yeah, we did end up getting kicked out on the street.
What is this
is
book?
Is that about
this
your college life, Zane?
That's kind of why I like it so much. It reminds me a lot of the house I lived in when I was in college, mm-hmm. but it's Aaron Comet Bus is a...
Comet Bus.
Pretty famous zine writer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Bay Area.
Which Bay?
Which
Bay? Bay Fundy?
Shut up, you fucker. I was going to say it.
And this is a book that he wrote about one of the houses, like a
flop
shit
house.
Punk house that he lived in, like in the 80s and 90s, flop called house. Double Deuce. All
right. The Double Deuce.
It's really, all of his stuff is really, really good. And this book, that's like... That little thing is like from one of his roommates talking about some time there.
Yeah.
And it's really fun.
That sounds like a good... I would read that book.
Henderson.
All right, I got one book left, and it's everyone's favorite book of all time.
What is it, buddy?
Let me get to the page first. Page, what are we doing? 69?
Yeah, this is the 69th episode. I don't know if you guys caught on to that yet.
Oh.
Wait, are we all reading page 69?
Yeah.
I read a couple of page 69s.
69, dudes!
Anyway... I'm reading from Ready Player One.
Oh, boy.
By Ernest Cline, a novel.
Wait,
New York Times bestseller.
Aren't you reading, like, a very expensive first edition?
Apparently. As expensive as this can be. I mean, I wouldn't say it's expensive intellectually.
It's worth something to someone.
Someone would buy this, I
Will
suppose.
Wheaton.
Oh, fucking... More like Dill Deaton. They're making gestures, I don't know what.
Read your 69, bro!
Okay, this will be read by Will Wheaton. Read as Will Wheaton.
That's right, because only Will Wheaton is qualified to read the beautiful mind shits of Ernest Cline.
That's pretty accurate. Then I remembered that ludus was also a Latin word meaning shul. I pulled up my Latin dictionary to double check the definition, and that was when I discovered the word had more than one meaning. Ludus could mean shul, school, but it could also mean sport.
I'm going to allow this, but only because Will Wheaton is Mark Twain.
Or game. Game. I fell out of my folding chair and landed with a thud on the floor of my hideout. My Oasis console tracked this movement and attempted to make my avatar drop to the floor of my Latin classroom.
Oh, God.
But the classroom conduct software prevented me from moving, and a warning flashed on my display. Please remain seated during class. I told myself not to get too excited. I might be jumping to conclusions. There's not really any good
references.
There's no southern twang to this one.
Weirdly.
Goyles.
We're not there. I haven't found one yet. Oh my God, where am I? There were hundreds of private schools and universities located on other planets inside the Oasis. The limerick might refer to one of them, but I didn't think so. Ludus made more sense. James Halliday had donated billions to fund the creation of the Oasis public school system here, and a way to demonstrate the huge potential of the Oasis as an educational tool.
Tool is right.
Yeah. And prior to his death, Halliday had set up a foundation to ensure that the Oasis public school system would always have the money it needed to operate.
This is the most boring page of this book.
No, it's not. The Halliday Learning Foundation also provided impoverished children around the globe with an Oasis hardware and internet access so that they could attend school inside the Oasis. He says Oasis like 45 times already. Fuck you, Ernest Cline.
Josh buzzed himself.
Fuck! I hate
That's
this.
The second time he buzzed himself.
Dude, that fucking book, man.
It's horrible.
I'm like listening to you and I'm like, why am I doing this to myself again? I already read it once.
You already Ready Player One it. Yeah, there once. It is. Ready Player Once it. All
right,
Sean, what are you reading?
Stop. For my final book, this is actually a book that was sent to us by a listener.
Oh, goody. I'm glad we all got a copy. Thank you.
Yes, it was from our anonymous benefactor.
Who is it? You know who you are.
Whoever you are, thank you, because you're now part of the show. And it is page 69 of the Scholastic edition of Godzilla, a junior novelization based on the screenplay written by Dean Devlin and Roland Emmerich.
And there's 70 pages.
There are 71 pages.
So we're going to hear the end of the story.
I read page 69 of 71 of Godzilla. Page 60. I'm pretty sure every book that I've read tonight, the first thing on page 69 is two words and then a period.
That's great.
That's weird.
Okay, here we go. A stop.
Okay.
Nick and Audrey jumped out. Together, they watched the desperate beast's terrible struggle. A moment later, the F-18s fired at the trapped reptile. Whoa. Deadly missiles slammed into his chest, exploding.
Holy
bellowing
shit.
In pain, the beast kept trying to free himself. This could be Ernest Cline. Audrey
this
was
is better.
This is better.
Audrey was crying. Nick wrapped his arms around
Audrey,
her.
Get it together.
Again, the bombers fired. The missiles screamed.
They're technically not bombers.
The massive creature was hit again.
F means fighter.
Animal kept filming. In back of him, behind the blockade, the mob that had gathered at the bridge watched in horror. Mortally wounded, the immense beast reared up, screaming. Audrey, Nick, and Philippe moved back as the creature began to fall.
What?
Even Animal retreated. Just as they stepped away...
From the Muppets?
Just as they stepped away... the enormous head came crashing down on top of the cab, crushing it completely. The earth shook. Rocked by the impact, the crowd screamed. And then a stunned silence fell. The creature's last breath escaped, defeated and weary.
Whoa!
His eyes blinked slowly as his life slipped away. The shocked mob began to stir.
No Godzilla.
There was a smattering of nervous applause and the scattered shouts and cheering. Victor! A joyful voice called. Animal set down his camera as Lucy burst from the crowd.
You did it wrong. Read it again as Animal.
Victor!
Victor. Animal is Victor. Victor's wife. Have you guys seen this movie?
Nope.
No.
It's his wife that says it. Victor! A joyful voice called. Animal set down his camera as Lucy, who screamed it, burst from the crowd.
God.
He caught her in his arms and spun her around as she showered him with kisses.
Gross.
They were mobbed by reporters. There's Totopolis, someone cried. Dr. Totopolis, did Godzilla have a nest? A reporter demanded. Where?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God! We'll never know! Jesus!
He did have a nest. It was in Madison Square Garden. They blew it up.
Wait, which one is Mo?
Wait, all of that happens in 2 pages?
That was 1 page. No, oh, yeah. No, no. That had all happened previously.
Oh, oh,
I've seen the end of that movie, weirdly enough.
You've never seen that whole movie?
No, it's a terrible...
It's like a great movie.
I mean, the only good thing that came out of that movie was the Puff Daddy cover of the Led Zeppelin song.
What about the moment where he gets a vending machine camera?
Wait, what?
Remember when they used to have the disposable cameras and vending machines? You could get there's like the product placement in the movie.
Oh yeah. Why does he do that? When Ferris
Bueller does that? Because he wants to take pictures of Godzilla. But he doesn't have a camera.
How's it gonna get developed when the world is destroyed because Godzilla blew it up?
Man, he don't think like that.
Ferris Bueller ain't got time for that kind
of
thing.
Exactly. Ferris Bueller's a positive thinker. Go ahead, Zane. This guy off of me.
Right. This guy off.
This guy off of my 69.
I'm here to bore everyone to death.
Oh, this is gonna be great. There's a picture on that page.
I am reading from the Manual of Horsemanship of the British.
Is that inscribed? No, it's not. Oh, kinda.
Well, yeah.
Who's it to?
It's like an address.
Where is it? Now we got a mystery on our hands.
San Antonio.
Probably.
It's from San Antonio.
Maybe you should take a trip
there. This is the Manual of Horsemanship of the British Horse Society and the Pony Club.
Okay. Ooh. Wait, what horse society?
British Horse Society.
Oh, okay. Pony and Pony Club.
This is page 69.
Oh, okay.
69, dudes!
The turn on the forehand.
Oh my god, I hate this.
In order to get control of the horse's quarters, and to be sure he will go away from the rider's leg, the turn on the forehand can be taught. This exercise is a means to an end, and when achieved, there is no necessity to use it again. The horse is placed alongside, but not too near, fence or wall. He must be standing squarely on all four legs, and be holding the bit lightly in his mouth. It is most important not to attempt to start this exercise if there is any resistance whatsoever in the horse's mouth.
Josh just died.
That is always a good tip. To turn to the right on the forehand, the rider gently asks with the right rein, but should not turn the horse's head more than just enough to make his right eye visible.
Yo!
Josh, that's all, that's it.
Yo, British people, calm the fuck down.
Wow.
What about...
That's actually, it's like a pretty good description.
What's the publication date on that, Zane?
The year Poops McStupid.
Jeez, it wasn't that bad.
Jesus. You passed it.
You can't even... Wait, is that your address?
First edition was 1950. Reprinted 1967. Oh my
god, a first edition?
19 what?
67. 67, dude!
69, dudes!
That would have been great if you should have just lied and said 69. It was 69.
Alright, that's it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was 1969.
Oh, yeah! The universe!
So now do we vote on whether we continue our game over these books or something? What does this show do?
Different
now?
Show. Different show. Oh, yeah, okay. That's your other show. That's your more popular internet show.
Is it? Yes.
Alright, let's take a break and we'll finish this 69 off correctly.
No.
With a bang.
Dudes! Welcome back to episode 69 of Cracking the Spine.
I don't get it.
It doesn't get old.
What's funny about
Sean.
I'm Zane.
I'm Josh. Zane doesn't get it.
It's alright. It'll come to her when she listens to the show.
Yeah.
Probably. I'll get it when I'm older.
Yep.
So, did we get any correspondences from listeners? Because we asked for them.
We did.
Oh, read them.
We got a really nice one.
Boo! I mean, yay!
From Mel G.
Who, yay!
It's worth saying that she always sends extremely nice.
That's true.
Mel is extremely nice.
Yeah.
You've been on her show, right?
She does the side show, sidecast. Yes.
Listen to the sidecast show.
So she sent us an email that said, Zane sounded genuinely sad you weren't getting email messages. So, hi CTS guys, you're cool.
Hi.
Don't take any first edition Odyssey copies. Also, I need someone to explain postmodern fiction to me someday. You guys are great. Hi, Zane.
Oh,
Mel
what?
From Sidecast.
Wait a minute.
Shout out.
Now I'm going to get super
she's also,
sad.
She's
pretend to be sad. Pretend to have emotions like Zane did.
Pretend to have emotions.
Yeah,
for Josh.
Like a Vulcan.
For Josh. He has to pretend emotions.
Yeah, I'm not really good at them.
Yeah,
honestly.
I know.
I deleted a few of them. Gone. Make some room for some cool stuff.
So that was the really, really nice one that we got.
Oh, we got a bad one now?
And then
yes.
We also got this one, honestly, cracked me up.
Yeah, this was good. This was good.
We got an email from Mr. People 25.
Who's the moderator of our Reddit page.
Yep, and creator.
Correct.
That said, the email topic is about sending in emails.
Okay, this will be... This will
the
be
body good. Of the email reads, no.
Oh! Wrecked!
Except that he did it, so it's like contradicting himself. Like, it's like a... It's a paradigm. Paradox. There you go.
I laughed. I thought it was really funny.
I thought it was funny, too.
Especially,
I'm not fucking
like,
around.
It showed up in the inbox,
yep.
And I was like,
ooh.
Oh, a new email.
Yep.
And
it
I was
says
like,
no.
About sending emails. No. And I didn't, I opened it to see if there was more, and there wasn't, and
yep.
I laughed.
Didn't we get something from Jakob, too?
Oh, yeah, Jakob.
That's a long one.
It is long. He talks about some books that he is finishing, and then he gave us a topic.
We can't talk about the topic is.
Yeah.
Save it.
I
yeah.
know. That's why
I was telling Josh.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling myself.
We
already
got a topic for the show. It's
page
69.
Show 67 should have been called Overwhelming Dread that Jakob's prompt from March was stolen by a buttfucker.
Ooh.
It was almost word
Whoa.
For word. Great show anyways. And I kind of didn't, I don't know exactly what he's referring to.
Oh, somebody must have, we must have read.
We gave credit to the topic
for somebody else.
I went back and I looked. Unfortunately, once we discuss a show topic, I delete it.
What are you doing?
So I delete it from like the
from
list
the doc,
of
yeah.
potential.
The list, yeah.
I guess I could go back, but March is a little nebulous, so I don't know. I'm sorry if we stepped on his toes. I honestly don't know.
Look, I'm just glad we
but
got
it. But it was
an email.
Nice to get correspondence. It was a nice long email, and he like gave us updates on what he's reading and everything. So.
Thanks, Jaco.
I
Thank
like
you.
Reading the emails. Thank you.
Send more emails, guys.
More
Josh,
emails.
No, the other thing.
Emails. Oh, Twitter. Facebook. Send the emails at crackingthespineshow@gmail.com. On Reddit, we are r/crackingthespinepod.
Yeah.
And on the Twitter, where the @ symbol, which is the A with the circle,
mm-hmm.
cracking the spine.
Nope.
Cracking spine.
Yes.
Yep.
Also,
I'm so glad we have him do that every week.
I know. He's really good at it. Also,
thanks.
Remember to rate us on iTunes and the
oh,
Android
yeah.
marketplace.
Oh, and I'm trying to get us onto... Someone had asked a couple weeks ago for us to be on the Google Play
yeah.
store.
Them that they're Google Play.
And I have to say, Podomatic is not exactly making it the easiest thing in the world. I'm working on it, guys.
Yeah,
Podomatic is kind of pain in the balls with it.
Look, Podomatic, just do everything we say and shut up.
That works.
We're the customer.
They're really nice to us.
I know.
They're not. Okay.
Look, Podomatic is great. I apologize, Podomatic. It was.
I don't.
It's episode 69. We're all fired up.
Fair all right. enough.
All right, we're going to leave it at that. We'll talk more next week on episode 70. Have
Facebook,
a
Twitter.
Yeah, we know.
The email.
69 dudes! 69 dudes! That's the best show ever.